Well, 2020 has certainly been an interesting year, to say the least. A season of challenges and insights, difficulties and new opportunities, changes and growth. But when you stop to think of it, that could describe just about any year, to be honest, right? Every year has its a series of ups and downs and highs and lows. It's just that sometimes we start to think, well, this is the worst, but it seems like maybe that could be just about any year. But I find that what I read and what I hear connects and highlights whatever my current situation is. So the result being that in the months of March and April, I saw that everyone in the Bible had a desert, isolated, quarantined, exiled moment or experience in their life, right? It was just everywhere. And then in the month of May, it seemed like everybody in the scripture was going through difficulties and challenges. In June, I couldn't find a passage that didn't just slap me in the head with the importance of being kind and considerate and watching my words and all those things. But you kind of get the point that what we look for, we find. What we're thinking about is typically what kind of slaps us in the face. It's sort of like anything, not just in the scripture, but it's sort of like if you just have a thought, it appears in your newsfeed or on your Instagram story. Like, you know, I didn't even search for that on Amazon. They just knew my thoughts. You know, so whatever the product is I've never heard about, it's everywhere, whatever diagnosis, situation, circumstance, whatever it is, if it's something that I begin to think about, I just see it everywhere. So it's possible that today, in a sermon and passage that honestly has absolutely nothing to do with a pandemic, that's how you'll view this sermon, because it's right here. It's kind of like right in front of us, and it's close to our heart. And so that's totally fine if you do, but there are other people that need to hear this message, because 2020 has been dark for reasons completely unrelated to a global crisis. So I've titled this message, Seeing and Hearing in the Dark, and I pray there's some lessons that we can learn from the life of John the Baptist today. We're going to land in Matthew chapter 11 if you want to get ready, but first I need to tell you his backstory, and most of you know that I love to tell a good story from the Bible. So John the Baptist got his name because his ministry was primarily calling people to repentance and baptizing them in water. So it was sort of a title, John, you know, the one who baptizes in water. And so that was a very helpful distinction, to be honest, because there are so many men named John in the New Testament. So to have that sort of distinction, John, the one who baptizes, as opposed to John, the one who writes, John, the one that Jesus loves, so you can see how it's very helpful. So it's not his last name so much as it is his title or description. But so today in the sermon, we're just going to call him John, right? So you'll know I'm talking about John the Baptist, but we're just going to refer to him that way. And John happens to be a cousin to Jesus. And his parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, were devout followers of God. But they were quite old when they found out they were going to be parents, because God loves to accomplish his plans in unexpected ways. So not for the first time. In scripture, God opened the womb of a barren woman at just the right time for his plans to be set in motion, but at a time that no longer made sense to his mother or his father. So an angel came to Zechariah, who served as a priest in the temple, and announced that God has heard your prayers. And Zechariah is thinking, what prayer? And the angel said, the one about the baby. And Zechariah said, we're not praying for that anymore. Right? Don't you just love when God answers prayer? Wait, I did not want that anymore. I prayed that like 12 years ago. I don't want that now. But so he's thinking, did this prayer get lost somewhere? And the angel said, oh no, God knows best. So stunned was Zechariah that he doubted the truth of the angel, which left him unable to speak for 9 months. Our words have power, and rather than let doubt ring out over what was going to be a mighty miracle, Zechariah was simply silenced. So he goes home, and Elizabeth gets pregnant, and then receives an unexpected visit from her cousin. A lot of unexpected things in this story. And a young girl named Mary, who had also just learned that she was going to be having a baby, arrives. Spoiler alert, this Mary is the mother of Jesus. Okay, so when Mary, overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and carrying Jesus, arrives, Elizabeth feels John in her womb begin to move and kick, and the Holy Spirit filled Elizabeth too. These cousins were going to be quite the pair right from the start. And when he was born, he was named John, which was the name that the angel had instructed his father to give him. And as he grew, he became a man who did some weird things, which were also part of the whole, you're going to have a baby when you're old, and he's going to be different and eat strange things, and it's going to be great. And that was the speech the angel gave. Sort of. It's paraphrased. You can read it. Luke 1. But sure enough, John lives in the desert, and he wears clothes made from camel's hair with leather belts, because a trendsetter he was not. And he ate locusts and wild honey, because maybe the honey was there to help the taste of the bugs, right? It's sort of like deep frying vegetables. Right? Because every vegetable tastes better. I mean, I don't know why you would eat okra raw. Obviously, it needs to be battered and fried to a golden brown. In fact, I don't eat a lot of vegetables unless they have been fried into a light golden brown. And so it's possible that the locusts, once they're marinated in honey, are quite delicious and sweet. I have no idea. So you can try that later on. But in addition to eating some weird things, John also gets all the best speaking lines in his role as the one who would prepare the way for Jesus. He's super confrontational. He doesn't care what others think. And this is seen in the way that he speaks truth to power. Which, for those of you who are in on the Wednesday night service a couple of years ago, we went through the kings and prophets of the Old Testament. We learned that that's one of the main characteristics of a prophet, is that they speak truth to power. Because there's two types of people: the ones who have the perfect response or comeback in the moment, and the ones who think of the perfect thing to have said in that moment 3 days after the conversation, right? You usually fall into one of those kind of categories, and John definitely fell in the first. He just knew what to say, right? It's why he gets the lines about, you brood of vipers, you know? Well, that was a great thing to think of right then. I don't know if he had practiced that line or if it just came to him, but it was a good one, you know? Plus, he gets to call out Herod, the imposter king, who has married his brother's wife and taken up with her and had some people killed. Anyhow, that will end up being the downfall of John the Baptist and the end of his head being attached to his body, which is another story for another time. All right, John also gets some of the highest honors. He dedicates his life to calling people to repentance and testifying of Jesus. In fact, in John 3, he acknowledges to his own close followers that everything he's had in life has come from heaven. His greatest joy has been in announcing Jesus. And it's in that moment that he says his most famous line, that Jesus must decrease and I, let's rephrase that line, because I just said that way wrong. Jesus must become greater and I must become less. It was also John who announced to the crowd, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And it was John who had the privilege to baptize Jesus in the waters of the Jordan River. And he was in the water with Jesus when they heard a voice from heaven thunder. And it said, from heaven proclaimed that this is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. And they watched as a dove descended and came to rest on Jesus. John had the best lines, the best moments, experienced the highest highs of calling and purpose. He had known from his earliest days that Jesus was the Messiah, the anointed one, the deliverer of Israel, the one they were waiting on. He knew that Jesus was the one who would save the people from their sins, and he knew that he was God in the flesh. John testified to all of this during the course of his life. And then. Isn't that just the way? We've come to know Jesus. Everything is going great. What a difference he's making in our lives. Things have never been better. 2019 was just on this upward climb. 2020 was going to be a year of great vision. And then. And all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, let us know that John is put in prison by Herod just as Jesus began to call his own disciples. The forerunner of Christ had done his job in announcing the arrival of the promised one, and his reward for having done everything he was called by God to do was imprisonment. Because the scripture never says anything about life being fair. And so prison is where we find John in Matthew chapter 11. It reads like this. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. And when John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" And Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." So at the time that this is being written, John has been in prison for most likely around a year, and he's had plenty of time to mull over what has happened and how he got to this place. And my guess is he did not see this coming. And his disciples were still bringing him word from the outside world, including all that Jesus was doing, namely teaching and preaching and performing signs and wonders. And John hears this, but something doesn't quite make sense, because things in the dark have a way of confusing us. Now, we know this to be true in our own lives, right? Because in the daytime, the air conditioner kicking on in the house, the refrigerator running, the ice machine dropping ice, those are background noises, right? We never pay them any attention. But at night, in the dark, when everything else is quiet, things are exponentially louder, right? In the dark. So loud that it makes us go, "What was that? What was that?" It's the same noises we've been hearing all day, right? That's what I like to tell myself anyhow. When the noise comes in the middle of the night, I just say, "It's probably the ice machine. It's the ice maker." It's not what the ice maker sounds in the day. It doesn't matter. It's the ice maker now. Shut up, Sarah. Just go to sleep. Go to sleep. You're fine. Now, some of you may tell someone else in your house, "Why don't you get up and go see if it is the ice maker?" But I don't have anyone else, so I just say, "It's the ice maker, Sarah. I'm sure of it. It can't be a scary noise. There's no one else here to do anything about it." But in the dark, noises don't make as much sense as the noises that we hear in the light. And this is what prompts John to send his disciples directly to Jesus to find out some things. And can I just say that that is always good advice? When life doesn't make sense, go directly to Jesus. Don't stop. Don't pass go. Don't collect $200. Just go directly to Jesus. That's the thing. He's the one that knows. I can't figure out what to do. Go directly to Jesus and ask. Moms and dads trying to figure out what school is going to look like, and should you homeschool or send the kids to the classroom or whatever else, can I just remind you this morning to go directly to Jesus and ask, because he knows best for each of you and your families. You can poll 12 of your closest friends on what they're going to do, but the truth is, moms and dads, none of them are parenting the children God entrusted in your care. Go directly to Jesus and ask him what he has for you and your family. Go directly to Jesus when you don't understand what you're hearing in the dark. Well, John is feeling confused, and so he sends his disciples directly to Jesus with this question. Go ask Jesus, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Because Jesus was not living up to the expectations John had for him. Have you ever felt that way? John's thinking, "Come on, Jesus, this is not what I told everyone you'd be doing." John had testified that Jesus was the light of the world, and now he's sitting in a dark prison. He declared that Jesus was the Savior, and now he's waiting to be saved. John had announced that Jesus was the Messiah come to set them free, and he's captive in a prison. This is not what John had been expecting. And sometimes I can identify with John. Can you? When we've testified and saying that you're our healer, Jesus, and then we wonder, so what happened when we're sitting at the funeral? When we've announced to everyone, "You're the Prince of Peace," and I have never felt more anxious in my life. Or when you said, "I trust you, Lord, no matter what you say," but you aren't living up to your word or to our expectations. And sometimes in the dark, what we've heard about Jesus doing doesn't match what we see. Alicia Britt Trolley, who's an author and she's been a missionary and evangelist, but she said it like this. Somehow Jesus' actions were not matching John's expectations, and that distance between what John thought Jesus would do and what Jesus actually did was straining John's certainty of who Jesus was. He experienced from prison what the first disciples later would experience throughout Jesus' passion, and what we still ponder 2 millennia later, that Jesus' ways are often unexpected. And most of us can appreciate John's confusion, because if we're honest, we've been disappointed by Jesus when he failed to live up to our expectations too. And when John's disciples make their way to Jesus and they ask their question, "Are you the one? Are you the one? Because you don't look like the one. You don't seem like the one. You aren't exactly what we were hoping for or expecting in this moment. So are you the one, or should we just keep hoping? Should we just keep expecting another?" And Jesus says, "Well, what have you heard and seen? Not what did you expect, but what have you witnessed and what have you known?" Because Jesus' actions may have failed expectations, but they were exactly in line with who the scripture said he was and what the Messiah's work would be. So Jesus then makes his case for what he has been doing and for who he is by quoting from Old Testament passages that everyone in his day knew to be about the coming Messiah. You see, Isaiah, the prophet, had told them what to expect when the Messiah came. He said, "Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert." And in chapter 61, Isaiah had said, "The Spirit of the Lord will be on him, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." But John knew that those passages were coupled with judgment, because that passage goes on to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. And once that happens, he'll comfort those who are mourning and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And chapter 35, which we read first from Isaiah, it actually begins this way: "Be strong and do not fear. Your God will come, and he will come with vengeance. With divine retribution, he will come to save you." And John was looking for vengeance. He was looking for a takeover from the tyrant King Herod, who had imprisoned him, by the new King Jesus. He was hoping for freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners right away. "You could start with me. Come take control and free me from prison." And John was expecting the Messiah to look like this. And instead, what he hears is something that only fits half the promise. It was just a glimpse of what God's kingdom would be. And Jesus told John's disciples, "Go back and tell John what you've heard me say and seen me do, that the blind receive sight and the lame walk, and those who have leprosy are cured, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor." Jesus tells them, "Tell John what you've seen and heard, and then tell him, blessed is the one who doesn't stop believing in me when I don't meet their expectations." And regardless of where you sit today, John, in that prison, "I'm still who you said that I am. You announced, John, on the Jordan River that I was the Lamb of God who would save the world. And now the Lamb is announcing to you in the jail cell that I've come to save you from your sins. What have you heard about me in the past? Because God's word had stated that the Messiah would come to give sight to the blind, and Jesus did. The prophet said the lame would walk, and when Jesus came, they did. The Bible said that when Jesus came, good news would be preached, and it was." And as a side note, I love that in a list of what we would consider major miracles, blinded eyes coming open, the dead being raised, Jesus says, "And just as miraculous, just as crazy, just as mind-blowing is the fact that when the Messiah comes, he's going to go to the poor. He's going to preach good news and proclaim it to the least of these." Because only the Messiah could raise the dead and go to the ones who could give nothing to him in return. That's the Messiah. They were seeing Jesus fulfill those scriptures. And this means that if Jesus was fulfilling part of the scripture, then John had it on good authority that the rest would be fulfilled too. Don't fall away because you don't see it yet. Jesus is letting John know, "I am the one who was to come. I am the one who is here. I am the one who will come again. I am the one you have heard about from days of old, and I'm the one you're seeing at work today. It may not look like what you expected," but then John the Baptist had always understood that God comes and works in unexpected ways. a baby born to a couple past childbearing years, a man dressed in camel hair and eating locusts in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Lord, a savior in the form of a carpenter from Nazareth. It may not have been what anyone was expecting, but we see Jesus at work and we hear of his goodness even in the dark. Can I tell you this morning, 2020 may not be what you were expecting for any number of reasons. I wasn't expecting to lose my job or my spouse. I wasn't expecting to have to make the decisions I'm making. I never thought I'd be in this position. I never thought it would look like this. But let me be clear, 2020 may not have lived up to your expectations. This season of your life may have failed to live up to what you were expecting or hoping for. But Jesus has not changed. And Jesus has not failed you. He is still who he said he was. And what you've heard about Jesus from the Bible is still true. What John and his disciples had heard and what they saw were not exactly the same, but they saw enough to trust that everything they had heard was true. I heard that when you came, the blind would see, and the prisoners would be free, and those who mourn would be comforted. But all I've seen is blinded eyes be opened. Then take it on good authority that what you've seen is just a deposit guaranteeing that the rest of what you've heard will one day be seen as well. Right? Well, he hasn't met my expectations. Well, what were you expecting? Because you may have been expecting something that didn't line up with the Word of God. Or maybe you were expecting heaven while you were still living on earth. What we see now is only a glimpse of what will be. What I've seen is Jesus breaking into the darkness with light, but what I've heard is that one day we're going to live in a heavenly city with Jesus where there's never going to be any night at all and where Jesus is going to be the light. What I've seen is momentary, but what I've heard is the rest of the passage that Jesus alluded to in Isaiah 35 when it talked about what would happen when the Messiah came, that they'll enter Zion with singing and everlasting joy will crown their heads and gladness and joy will overtake and overwhelm them and sorrow and sighing will flee away. 2020 isn't all there is, and what I've seen this year has weighed heavy in my heart. But what have I heard? I've heard of a day when it will be all joy all the time and there will be no more sorrow. 2020 has been a bit dark, but if you'll remember earlier, I said that what we hear in the dark is exponentially louder than what we hear in the light. And maybe what God wants to say to us could only be heard in this dark season, because the truth for John was that the God whose voice had thundered from heaven over the Jordan was the same God who whispered hope in the jail cell. And which voice was louder? What have you heard in the dark from God's word? Maybe you haven't seen all that God has spoken to your heart personally or individually. You haven't seen it yet, but keep listening and keep trusting. And here's what I want to say as we finish. If God's word isn't true on the worst day or the darkest day of my life or your life, then it doesn't pass the truth test. Because if God's word isn't still true at the funeral, if God's word isn't still true in the dark, if God's word isn't still true tomorrow, if God's word isn't still true in 2021, if God's word isn't still true, then it's not true. And I'm here to tell you, his word is true. In the dark or in the middle of the day, God's word is true. And we can trust what we've heard from God's word. Situations change. The world as we knew it might have changed, but God's word never fails. God's word is what sustains us in the midst of the crazy and after the crazy has passed. Jesus said, go back and remind John of who I am from the scripture, and let the scripture sustain him in the dark of that prison, because the scripture was still speaking truth to John, even in the dark, reminding him that Jesus was who he said he was. He was the Messiah, and Jesus can be trusted, and God's word can be trusted day or night, year after year. It was true in 2019. It's true in 2020. It'll be true in 2021 and until Jesus returns again. Because whether it's on the banks of the Jordan River or in the belly of the jail, when you're full of joy or full of doubt, when you're testifying to the light of the world or when you're plunged into darkness, in every situation, on every kind of day, what God's word says about Jesus remains true. Because what we see around us does not change what we hear from God's word. And oh, how important God's word is. Because the word of God keeps us from sin. It preserves our life. It strengthens us when we're sorrowful. It comforts us. The word of God is trustworthy. It is eternal. It is so sweet to us. God's word is a light to our path, even in the darkness. It gives us hope. The word of God sustains us. The word of God has been tested and tried. The word of God gives reason to rejoice. And the word of God reveals Jesus to us as the word in flesh. And in a moment when we don't know who's telling the truth and we can't trust everything we're seeing or hearing, I'm telling us all, we can trust what we've heard and what we've seen about Jesus in the word of God. God's word is true to us this morning. It's true to us in the dark. It's true in 2020. It's true on the good days, on the best days, and it's true on the worst days. And so this morning, if you're in the dark, go directly to Jesus. Go directly to his word. Read his word. Let it be life to you. Let it be sweet to you. Let it be an encouragement to you. Let it just wash over you. Go directly to Jesus. Take him your doubts and your fears and your worries, your concerns, your problems, your frustrations, your questions, all the things that are plaguing you, all the things you don't understand, all the things that no longer make any sense that you thought that you knew. Take it to him. Ask him this morning for what you need. Ask him, are you the one, or should I expect something else, or have I been expecting the wrong thing? Ask him for what you need this morning, and then go back to his word. Go back to his word and remember again what you've heard and what you've seen about Jesus, because it's true. Remember that what you've heard will one day be made sight. One day. Maybe it isn't all looking quite right today. But one day, it'll all be made sight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Jesus, that your word is life and it is light to us. Thank you, Jesus, that we can trust your word when everything else around us just seems a little fake or a little untrustworthy or doesn't quite add up. We can trust your word, Jesus. We can trust what it is that you say over us. We can trust that you are good. We can trust that you have not failed and you're not planning to. We can trust that you are faithful, that you remain the same. We can trust your word to sustain us, to keep us going. We can trust that we can read your word and that we can taste something that just nourishes us and comforts us and brings us hope and gives us reason to keep rejoicing and to keep pressing on. We can read your word and we can find such comfort today. And so, Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for your word to us. And I thank you, Lord, for those that have experienced just a dark year for any number of reasons. I thank you, Lord, that you can speak so loudly to us, even in the dark, even in the quiet. So, Jesus, we just quiet ourselves before you this morning to let you speak over us, to drown out all the other voices and all the other things that just try and plague us or tear us down. And Jesus, we just want to take a minute to listen. What is it that you're speaking over us today? What is it that you have to say to our hearts and our minds today? What scripture is it that you're going to bring to mind to bless us and to encourage us? So Jesus, we just wait on you. Just speak to us, Lord. How good it is to hear your voice in this room or in our home watching online. We can just quiet ourselves and listen to your voice. Sometimes you speak to us in the celebration and in the noise and in the loudness. Sometimes we just need to still our hearts and let all the other distractions, all the other things vying for our attention, just go to the side so that we can just hear from you. And let your voice ring loud and true in our hearts and minds. You are for us and not against us. I am my beloved, and he is mine. You know the plans that you have for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you speak to us in our want and in our plenty. Thank you, Jesus, that you know us, that you formed us as we read earlier today. Thank you, Jesus, that you speak hope to us today. You speak joy over us today. You speak peace to hearts that are heavy and that are unsettled. Speak this morning, Jesus. We want to listen to you. Because what we're seeing just doesn't always make sense. But what we hear from you, we can trust. So I thank you for that. Thank you that you are so good to us. And thank you for your word. May we read it. May we know it. May we apply it. And may we live it out. We give you praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, thanks for being here today. Pastor Brittany has got a special thing outside for those that are headed into kindergarten. One way or the other, kids are starting kindergarten this year. And so there's going to be a fun meet and greet with Pastor Brittany out there for your kindergartners. There's popsicles in the parking lot. Thanks for being here today. Make sure that you watch the announcements online or you can stay right here and do so. But read God's word and let it be a comfort to your hearts today. Thanks again for being here.
Pastor Sarah, Pastor Brittany here with some announcements for the week of August the 3rd. First off, we are super excited about this Wednesday night, August the 5th. We are going to begin offering some in-person services, right? For the following department. So listen up. If you attend the new community service with Pastor Brian, you will have an in-person and an online option. If you're part of the choir, we invite you to return for rehearsal with Lori this Wednesday night in person. If you are a teenager, we invite you to be here in person, or you can watch the service online for Kagi, and I'll let you tell the next part. And we have kids services. It'll be safe. It'll be spread out. But the doors open at 6:15. Kids will come in. They'll have a seat on their spot. We'll keep them engaged for just a little bit. Service is from 6:30 to 7:30. It'll be high energy. It'll be lots of fun. They'll be up. They'll be down. But they'll be in their space and be able to safely worship Jesus and come together and get to see each other and worship together. It'll be so exciting.
It is going to be great. And the Ark Park is the same thing. You can drop off kids at 6:15. All of the services will run from 6:30 to 7:30. And then we're going to have a party in the parking lot to be able to just engage with each other and to be able to see each other once again.
We're going to have pizza. We're going to have snow cones. Bring your lawn chair. It's not fancy, but it's going to be all of us together just getting to hang out and fellowship a little bit in a safe environment. Have some snow cones. What's better than that on a summer night before school starts? Snow cones and friends.
It's going to be fantastic. One side note about Wednesday, August 5th, is that the homecoming service with Pastor Phil and myself will remain online. So if you're looking for that homecoming service, make sure that you join us on Facebook at 6:30 this Wednesday night. Next thing we need to let you know is that on August the 16th, that's a Sunday, that night at 7 p.m. will be our next outdoor prayer gathering. And these have been so wonderful. If you haven't been able to be at one, we encourage you to make this your first one. It's just been such a blessed time to be able to pray together, and just the presence of the Lord has just been so sweet in these prayer services. So we'll meet at 7 p.m. Bring a lawn chair and come and worship with us and pray with us. And then
we're going to celebrate our honor stars. These girls, we have three of them that have worked so hard in the middle of a pandemic to make sure that they are completing their studies, reading their Bible, learning their verses, hiding God's word in their heart. And we want to make sure that we do not let this slip by, that we give them honor where honor is due. And so as part of that prayer and worship service, we're going to take some time and we're going to celebrate those girls. You're going to get to hear from those girls themselves. And we won't have a huge reception like we normally do, but we will have individually packaged cookies. So we are super excited at the chance to get to honor and celebrate all the hard work that those girls have put in.
Worship, prayer, honoring, and cookies. It's going to be a great night. Don't miss it. Put it on your calendar, August the 16th at 7 p.m. Last thing I want to let you know is that life groups will be returning on the second Sunday of August. And so if you have already been in a life group, you should be hearing from, if you haven't already, from your life group leaders and hosts with information about your life group, because in this crazy season, it means that everything looks just a little bit different. So some life groups are meeting in person, some are meeting online, some are meeting outside, some are meeting inside. And so there's just grace overall for all the creative ways that we're continuing to do life with one another. If you are not in a life group and would like to be for the 2020-2021 season, you can contact the church and just ask for me, and we'll make sure that to get you into a life group moving forward. But thanks so much for joining us today. It's been great to be able to see you in person or online. But wherever you're joining us and being a part of Carbondale, we hope you know that this remains a place of healing, hope, laughter, and peace. So we look forward to seeing you on Wednesday and again next Sunday. And thanks for joining us.